This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning moment with Mark Carbone, CIO of the Waterloo District School Board and the co-founder of the Ontario Connected Leaders Consortium, contributing author to voiceed.ca, Voices in Canadian Education. He also serves as OSAPAC co-chair, OSSE MOOC project coordinator, ECHO president, and is a director on the Ontario Association of School Board Officials. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Mark.
Well, thank you for the invitation to be here, Robert. It's certainly my pleasure to have this discussion with you.
Wow. It's amazing to see the many portfolios that you hold. They say, you know, if you want to get a job done, you give it to someone who's really busy, and that you are no exception to the rule.
The days are full and engaging, that's for sure.
Well, perhaps you can share a little bit about your days with the Waterloo District School Board and how things are evolving in the EdTech space. You bring tremendous value in your background because it's pretty rare that you have someone with a pedagogical background as an educator and then working your way into the CIO role, growing into that. That's very unique and I think highly beneficial.
Well, thanks. It's been a very interesting career journey for me, certainly spending the first 18 years in the classroom. It does give you a really good understanding of how things need to work from that teacher perspective. And I think that's important in this role. Technology is here to serve student learning. Of course, there's official business capacity, but if we're not bringing both sides of that coin to the table, then I think we're missing the mark. I think it's really important that learning and how we support student learning is a key function in IT.
Absolutely. And how is your learning technology plan evolving within the Waterloo District School Board? It's a growing district, I presume, with the KW region, you know, population growing?
Actually, our overall population is kind of flatlined. In fact,
right. We're
down just a little bit right now. So that's been a new experience for us as an organization to work through, but I think it'll straighten out over the next couple of years and be fairly stable.
Right.
In terms of our IT plan, we started a vision 5 years ago, really, to prepare for the big shift that's happening now. And so we've been doing all kinds of work on, I would call them IT strategies, identity management, making sure things are functioning well in kind of a one domain structure, which we didn't have before. And we've planned really to go with a big Wi-Fi deployment over the last 4 years. So at this point in time, we've got coverage in all classrooms.
Fantastic.
And all portables as well. And we configured our Wi-Fi as bring your own capable right from the get-go. And so we're sort of at what I would call a good point to spring off and really do the next phase of networking very well. Certainly at this point, we're looking at needs and growth and traffic patterns and trying to build a 3 to 5 year plan of what that capacity need will be as we support our learners in this ever-growing digital world.
Now, that's a good segue into the recent announcement by the Ministry of Education in Ontario with their renewed vision of learning strategy and their commitment to invest in hardware infrastructure and learning resources over the next 3 years, I believe it spoke to. How was that being received by your district, and are you encouraged by this?
Well, I think it's been fantastic news from a personal perspective. I know on behalf of our organization here, it's very exciting to hear that commitment because we've already got a strong philosophy around digital learning and moving our whole digital footprint forward in terms of business and learning. And so that kind of a commitment to the government from the government, to me, re-emphasizes how important this is, and it aligns with the work that we're already doing. So hopefully this is going to help us get there faster.
Absolutely. Now, as we spoke earlier about enrollments, I neglected to consider the fact that you have a large rural aspect to your district, and that brings challenges not only from declining enrollment because of population shifts, but also delivering wireless capabilities.
We've been very fortunate in that particular area, Robert, because years ago when we designed the RepNet network, which serves the whole Waterloo Region community.
How large is that community, by the way? How far north do you go? And
well, we basically run from Elmira and a little bit north down to the southern part of Cambridge, which some people might identify with Galt.
Right.
And then out on the west side, Waterloo-Oxford Secondary School and its family of schools is out in the Baden area. So we're sort of taller and thinner, I guess.
Taller and thinner.
But there's definitely a good driving range.
Yeah, no kidding.
So back to RepNet, we did put fiber into all of our schools as their connection points right from the get-go, and that happened approximately in the year 2000 when we started rolling that out. So we've always had a fiber-based network from the get-go, and really we're building services and traffic things on top of that.
Very cool. Now, you recently hosted, would it be your second annual Google Summit? And it's the response is tremendous. I follow the Twitter feed. You've had some, 500 educators on a weekend commit to coming on their own time?
Absolutely. That was indeed our second one. The first year we ran it, we had about 550 people at Eastwood Collegiate for the weekend, and we thought, well, we have to go bigger. So we reconfigured what we were offering in the school, and this year we had 650 people Saturday, Sunday. Great weekend of learning and sharing, and we still turn people away.
Wow.
We have dates booked for next year, which is very exciting because I think we need to keep the momentum going. And we'll have to see what we can do to maybe, we were pretty much at fire safety regulations.
Yeah, no kidding. You might have to move into a hockey arena or something. You got a few of those in your area. Now, as you wear many hats, including president of ECHO and on the board of OASBO and heading up OSAPAC, perhaps you can share some insights on the OSSC MOOC, and which I believe you'll be presenting at the Connect 2014 conference next week.
Yes, thank you. This is a very exciting time in education for me because I feel like some of the things that you've dreamed about for your whole career are actually happening now. And some of that is bringing together people to have such meaningful conversations. It's having IT folks talking to classroom educators. It's administrators coming on board with better understanding of connected learning, I guess would be a phrase that I would put on it, and seeing the growth in the use of the ministry's virtual learning environment and so on. I mean, just to see all of these things grow, there's a synergy for change happening now that I would say was not there 5 years ago. And so I think part of moving ahead is bringing these items together. And so having, for example, the joint conference between OASBO and ECHO is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
We had probably the largest capacity audience at the On the Rise K-12 event. Google Summit, as you mentioned, was huge. And we're anticipating that we'll have another great turnout for the ECHO 14 conference in November. And to highlight a specific project, working on the OSAPAC-sponsored awesome MOOC project with Donna Miller-Fry has been a real pleasure for me.
Cool.
It's been fantastic working with Donna, and we're really trying to have an environment where we can offer personalized, self-paced, connected online learning that's available to system leaders, to school leaders, to teachers interested in change and moving the agenda forward. It's just open, and the agenda is really determined by the learners. And so to work at this with Donna has been a fantastic experience, and we're really hoping that this kind of a model will become much more of a mainstay of the way people can own their own professional development in the province.
Fantastic. Well, you hit on a really important point, and that's leadership. And that is one of the most critical success factors that I've seen in some of these deployments of ICT, whether it's in a school or district or province-wide for that matter. And you get that. You exemplify and demonstrate leadership, whether it's within your own board, and it speaks to the success you've had, and at the provincial level with OSAPAC and OASBO. How do you engage leaders, and how do we make that more widespread, if you will, to get beyond pockets of innovation?
Well, Robert, I think you've hit on a key area. That whole notion of scaling up change to me is the real crux of the matter. I think there's a number of elements that do come together. I appreciate the work that's happening in the Ontario government and the Ministry of Education to really put a spotlight on how we're going to move ahead in some of these areas that have been identified in the recent documents. I think, you know, had recent conversations with the ECHO Board of Directors and the work with Donna on the Awesome MOOC project and so on. I think it's all about opportunity. It's showing people what I would call a safe entry point, a place to tuck in and do something that's, you know, at their level. And it's something that can be done in a really professional way. I think leveraging some of the models, such as the SAMR model that are out there now, they describe not the be-all, end-all use of technology, but a way of reflecting on how technology is used to support learning and shifting away from older ingrained tasks into doing things in new ways. I think there's a lot to be leveraged around the idea of hooking technology into the seas, communicating, collaborating, creating citizenship, and critical questioning. Those are all the spaces where technology shines well. And I think when we look across the variety of curriculum that's offered, and whether it's face-to-face, blended learning, or e-learning, those are the places to leverage technology and really look at changing what we do. But I think in order for that to happen, people need opportunities to come together, and certainly conferences are one way to do that. But I think the learning and sharing that goes on through blogging, through informal learning such as ed camps, the conversations we have every Tuesday night through the Awesome MOOC project, all of those things start to create a fabric, and I think that has to just literally become the norm. It's self-motivated, self-directed PD, but there has to be entry points so the people are coming on board at a comfortable level.
Right. Yeah, not everyone's at the same level, and you've got the hype cycle that Gardner talks about, and it's being mindful of, you've got a spectrum of individuals that are at various points in their integration phase. I use the word integration because Dr. Papert, when I interviewed him, he was my first podcast interview, by the way, and he scolded me about using the term adoption. It's not adoption, it's integration, young man. So he inspired me to avoid that. But it's exciting. And I think that, you know, the technologies that are in our hands today, it's putting the technology in the hands of the end users and empowering them to be able to blog, as an example. For someone who's not that tech savvy, blogging is a pretty simplistic process. And that's Heidi Seawack, who you know well from the Hamilton-Wentworth District, who won our National Video Challenge contest a couple years ago. That's what she started with. It was one thing. I'm going to try blogging with my students because I got to get into this technology stuff. And it didn't go well the first time, but it encouraged her it challenged her to try it again and get it right. And so I think that you're right. It's trying one thing and doing it well for starters is probably not a bad way to go.
No, I totally agree. I think that's a good approach. And yes, I do know Heidi very well. She's an outstanding educator. And the one thing that I commend people for trying blogging, both as a classroom tool or whether it's a professional reflection tool, to me, blogging is almost, it's the web version of the water cooler effect. You know, if you have a conversation over a cup of coffee, it's maybe a great conversation, but when you take the time to, you know, enter something into a blog post, now people can find it. They can find it a second time. They can point somebody else to it. They can reflect. They can add a comment. They can take away their own learning. They maybe write their own blog post on something that they've read. And that's why it's so important to become connected and think about what Donna and I have talked about so many times, is this idea that connected students need connected teachers and connected leaders. And that's really part of moving the whole agenda forward.
That's a great way to put it. It's that seamlessness that needs to happen and the engagement. And well, thank you so much for this, Mark. This was a terrific conversation. I always enjoy connecting with you, whether it's at a conference or online. And, you know, you certainly continue to inspire me and challenge me to learn more and keep up with the latest technologies.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your podcast series. I really do appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing you at Connect 2014.
Excellent. Thank you again. That was Mark Carbone, CIO of the Waterloo District School Board. My name is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report. Be sure to check us out at www.mindsharelearning.com for your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.